blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 229, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. How lovely, Lord of hosts, to me the tabernacles of thy grace. Oh, how I long, yea, faint to see thy hallowed courts and thy dwelling place. For thee my heart and spirit sigh, for thee, O living God, I cry. 1, 4, and 5 of 229. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Acts of the Apostles, the first chapter, the first 14 verses. Acts 1, verses 1 through 14. But first we will read the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And thou shalt not steal. And thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Acts 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive, after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, Wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons in which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So far, the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mr. John Vinnie, who is yet in the hospital, Mrs. DePuter, who had surgery in this past week, and also Alana Outshorn and Alyssa Arnold-Dusen, who all had a surgery this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal, all-knowing God, who dwellest above and we upon thy footstool, and thou who knowest what our state and condition is by nature, and that we have rebelled and that we have fallen so deeply in a spiritual way, so that there is only death. And we in an outward way may belong unto the church, so that we may come together under the preaching and reading of thy holy word from week unto week. And thou givest unto us the outward form as a means in thy hand wherein thou wilt bring in thy church. Lord, then we of ourselves can do nothing with this form. And then it cannot benefit us except that it receives a blessing from thee. Except that thou wilt use thy own power to bless and sanctify the word unto our own hearts. O Lord, that thou may look upon us each and every one then in this day, and we may read in thy holy word of thy servant who was banished upon that isle, that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Lord, that thou may remember us and our children also. That thou would so bless the Lord's day. Also, this day in the end of the times, which are come upon us with our children. and that thou may give that we may know what it is also what he spoke of, to be in the Spirit on the Lord's day, that thy Spirit may dwell feelingly and believingly in the midst of us also in this morning hour, that it may fill this place even as it did fill the temple of thy servant. Oh, he was not able to stand to minister, for the cloud, the sign of thy Spirit was upon them. Lord, that thou may look upon us with our children. We live in declining times. Oh, our hearts, they are so drawn after everything that is worldly, earthly, carnal, and sensual. And we are so dependent upon thee and upon the sending forth of thy Holy Spirit. That is what thou didst promise unto thy disciples. They had to wait for it. Oh, then, Lord, wilt thou look also upon us and upon our children, that same Spirit which thou promised so many years ago may also come to us and may work with might and power as it did in those days, and that our hearts may be truly affected with a new life. Oh, that we may be born again, as thou sayest is so necessary between the cradle and the grave. Look upon us with our dear children. There is not one of us who is from our side worthy of this great blessing. There is not one of us who is from our side able to give it unto ourselves, so dead in trespasses and in sins, as thy word does declare unto us. No matter what our thought is of ourself, if it is high and if it is lifted up, with great thoughts of our own power, even in our fallen state, so that we think of ourselves as able to put forth our hands and to take of that which is a gift of God, O Lord. That which thou commandest us is such an impossibility from our side. It lies upon us as a responsibility. But with all our responsibility, we are so unable. Oh, look then upon us, and we are so unwilling, because our hearts are so opposed to thee and to the salvation that thou hast wrought in and through thine only begotten Son. Lord, we will never bow ourselves. Oh, we will never come ourselves on the outside of it. We will never come as a wretched and as a helpless one. We will never come as an unworthy one. Oh, we come with all our own righteousnesses that have to become in us filthy rags. Oh, Lord, that thou may send thy Spirit for that first work, that work may be evident in the midst of us, that many may have to cry out and to smite upon our breast, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Oh, from that place that we have withdrawn ourselves from the presence of the Father, even as a prodigal of old, oh, that we may feel how empty and how void is all our own entertainments, all our own hopes and all our own expectations in this world. Oh, show to us, Lord, open our eyes, that we may see what a pigsty that we have brought ourselves into. Oh, that we may learn to yearn again for the house of the Father. Oh, remember us, that our thoughts may from a faraway place be going out unto our Maker and our Creator. Look upon us with our dear children. Oh, look on them in the days of their youth. Lord, the days of our life, they are as a shadow.
They are passing away so quickly we do not realize it. Especially in the days of our youth when we think to have a long life ahead of us. But it can be so different. It is the experience of parents in our midst that they have lost children in this world, little children, young people. Oh, that thou may bind this matter upon the heart of our children, that they also may be given to seek thee in the days of their youth, and that the evil days that have come upon so many of us, oh, that they also may be days in which men may realize and come to saving impressions of a never-ending eternity. Oh, that the missing of God may be experienced and known in our hearts. Lord, remember thy people. Thou knowest who that they are. We do not know. For us it can be sometimes so discouraging when we look at our own life, when we look at the life in the midst of our own congregation, in our own denomination. Lord, thou hast in the days of thy servant said unto him that there were yet 7,000 that had not bowed their knees to Baal. Oh, they were not in the forefront. They were not in the foreground. They did not boast of great matters. They were unknown to thy servant. The Lord, they bowed their knees to thee. They had a secret place. They had a place before the Almighty. Oh, we do not know, O Lord. We do not know the hearts of this, our flock, entrusted to our care. But thou knowest who that they are. Oh, that there may it be young and old, unknown to us, but known by thee, that cannot stay away from thee, not on thy Sabbath day, not in the weekday, and that the inner chamber may be a place that is known also by us as a congregation, and that there may yet be many who are not able to go along with all this world and all that is rebellious against thee, but that there may be many that still in their heart bow before the true and the living God. Lord, they may have so little comfort that may be conscious to them. But oh, that thou would be near and dear unto them. And could it please thee to open thy word, that unto us the mysteries of thy gospel may be evident, and that we may receive clarity also to explain those mysteries of thy work in the midst of those who may experience something thereof, who know not the high things, but who are not strangers of the necessary matters. Lord, that thou may comfort and that thou may uphold in all the needs. Look also upon all that need thee in a natural way. Lord, look on those that mourn. And wilt thou be on the right and on the left in all the need, in all the sorrow, in all the missing. And be with all widows, widowers, and orphans. Remember those who lay in the hospital. Wilt thou give strength and health again? And wilt thou raise up in thy own time, in thy own way, and sanctify and bless the afflictions? Also to those who have received surgery, several in our midst, young and old. Lord, that thou may be on the right and on the left of each of them, and to give healing for the body, and to supply what is necessary to go further in this world. And Lord, that thou may sanctify these ways also. And do look upon each and every one of us, supply for the needs of time and eternity, and help us in this morning. Oh, take away all that would stand in the way. Lord, take away what is evil in our hearts. Wilt thou take away the devil himself? Oh, that thou may put him away. Oh, give that he may not be able in this morning to come in between, but that thy word may be as a sharp two-edged sword, effectual to the bringing forth of new life and for the instruction of thy own people. Do forgive all that is sinful in heart and life of each and every one of us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 389, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Lord, hear me in distress. Regard my suppliant cry. And in thy faithfulness and righteousness reply. In judgment do not cause thy servant to be tried. Before thy holy laws no man is justified. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 389. Congregation, it was 4,000 years from the first promise of the sending of God's Son into this world until its fulfillment. So long the Church of God had to wait. Thus, it was a church that was well exercised in the activity of waiting. Then we know that as that time that drew closer and closer, that the expectation of that church, the true church of God, that became stronger and stronger. So that we read of those who, as Simeon, they waited for the consolation of Israel. Before that the Lord Jesus ascended into heaven, then we read that he also gave a promise unto his church. He himself had come. He himself had finished the work that his Father had given him to do. The salvation of the church of God that was wrought by him. But the Lord Jesus, before that he ascended into heaven, made a promise to his church that after he would be gone, that he would send forth another person of that Holy Trinity, the person of the Holy Spirit. And he has admonished his disciples that as that church of God has waited so long for his coming, that the church also in that time should wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit of the Lord. And this we wish to consider with you for a few moments in this hour, out of the words of our text, which you can find in the portion which was read, Acts 1. There are verses 4 and 5. Acts 1, verses 4 and 5. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So far the words of our text. The command of Christ concerning the promise of the Father. First, the promise. Second, the command concerning this promise. The command of Christ concerning the promise of the Father. First, the promise. And second, the command concerning this promise. What is, congregation, a promise? A promise is something that is always regarding what is future. So, something, children, that is not to be had today, not to be had as yet, now, at this moment. But a promise that is concerning something which is to be had. A promise is the basis, it is the foundation of hope. Hope. Thus, when a promise is given, then there is an expectation born. Then there is a looking forward, an expecting, a hoping that I may receive that which was promised to me. There are so many promises made in this world. promises made by fathers and mothers to their children, promises made by masters to their servants, promises made by government to their citizens, so on. Thus, in this world there is much hope. There is much expectation. There is much looking forward to that time when they may receive not only the promise, but that I may receive the substance, that that promise may be fulfilled. But there are also so many promises in this world that are never fulfilled. Because a promise that is only as good as the person who has made this promise. We know, children, that King Saul has promised to David that he would not harm him anymore. Then David, you say, he could have come home. He could have come home to his family, to his loved ones. Oh, then did David come home? No, you say, David, he continued to flee. Why? Because of the promiser. And that promiser, King Saul, was not a man that David could trust. And so it was also experienced in that life of David, that promise of Saul that was worth nothing. We read in God's word also of Ruth, that she received a promise. She received a promise from Boaz. And Naomi gave to Ruth an encouragement. She says, "Sit still, my daughter, because the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day." Thus, she said, Ruth, you may rely, you may rest upon this promise, because it is a promiser, it is a man who will certainly fulfill his promise. Congregation, is there a people who know what it is to receive a promise from the Lord? That is what our text speaks about. How that the disciples of the Lord Jesus received a promise from the Lord. And the Lord is today the same as he was in that day. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Say, maybe, young people, does that still happen today, that the Lord gives unto man a promise? And indeed, that still happens today. But you must understand what kind of a life is necessary for a person to receive such a promise. Because the disciples were those who lived so close to the Lord. And it is only in such a close life to the Lord when there may be an intimate communion with the Lord that man may still experience in this life what it means to receive a promise from the Lord. And now, if there are those in this world whose promise that is good because of their character, how much more the promise of the Lord? That when a person has received such a promise from him, that we certainly may say, be still. For the Lord will not be in rest until that he has finished this thing, until the Lord has brought this promise to pass. Balak hoped that the Lord would turn away his promise from his people, that the Lord would not fulfill it. But Balaam, by the Spirit of the Lord, he declared that God is not a man that he should lie. He is not a son of man that he should repent. No, when he has said it, then he shall do it. And when he speaks, he shall make it good. Therefore, the Apostle Paul declares that all the promises of God, they are yea, and in him, he says, amen. So shall it be. Thus, there is now a people who have a good hope, who have a good expectation for the future. In the words of our text, we read of such a promise. Being assembled together with them, exactly where that the Lord Jesus was assembled with his disciples, with his people, we do not know. But in this place, we read that the Lord Jesus reminds his disciples of, not his own promise, no, but he reminds them of the promise of the Father, of the Father. How great, congregation, is a promise of a Father. A promise upon which a child is looking with great expectation. It is incumbent upon us parents that we do not lightly make a promise to our children. A promise which we forget, a promise which perhaps we are not able to fulfill, so that our child, they will lose that trust in their own father and mother. But a faithful father or mother will do everything in their power to fulfill for their children what they have promised. And yet, because they are men, and because they are sometimes powerless in their circumstances, yet there will be promises made by fathers and mothers and other persons in this world that are not able to be fulfilled. And now the Lord Jesus speaks about the promise of the Father. Thus, this carries with it a very weighty connotation, a very weighty meaning, because a father will not be negligent to attempt to fulfill a promise to his own child. And then, not only does the Lord Jesus speak here of an earthly father, but he speaks here of the Heavenly Father. Thus he speaks here of him that is true, of him that is not able to lie. The Father we read of the Lord Jesus Christ by an eternal begetting, the Father of his children by a blessed adoption, the Lord Jesus says, my Father and your Father. And then that promise was not only spoken by the Father, but Christ says, which ye have heard of me. Thus, it was a promise of the Father, and it was a promise that was spoken by the Son. Neither of whose words, the Father nor the Son, were able to fall to the ground. But we know how that is sometimes when that way is so long for a child. And that child has to wait, and he is looking and looking to receive that which was promised, that a father or a mother will give some consolation in that time of waiting. What will they do? Then they will give a reminder. They will say, "My boy, my girl, you must wait, and that time is long, but remember what I have promised you." And so that is an help in that time of waiting. And so the Lord, He is also giving by times a confirmation of His own word and His own promise unto His children. And when they have to wait and wait, and when that time is long before that promise is received. Thus the Lord Jesus is reminding His disciples. But wait, He says, for the promise of the Father, which, saith He, ye have heard of Me. Thus, He encourages them. He encourages them to rely. He encourages them to trust and to wait upon Him. What is that promise of which the Lord Jesus speaks? We read that in the next verse. For John, He says, truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. We know that the Lord has promised this already in the Old Testament. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out of My Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out of My Spirit. We read that also in the prophecy of Isaiah. Yet now hear, O Jacob, My servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen, thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, My servant, and thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour My Spirit upon thy seed, and My blessing upon thine offspring, and they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the water courses. That is already in the Old Testament. We read that also, that the Lord Jesus, before that He ascended into heaven, He promises and He speaks the promise of the Father unto His disciples, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. But when, He says, the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of Me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with Me from the beginning. In these and in other places, and then we read how that the Lord Jesus has, as He says to them, ye have heard of Me. Then the Lord Jesus has spoken unto His disciples the promise of the Father, who is rightly able to appreciate the blessing of the promise of Christ to His disciples concerning the Holy Spirit of the Lord. Boys and girls, what did these disciples have to do? You know what the Lord Jesus said to them? They had to go forth and they had to preach the gospel. They had to preach the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know how that name of the Lord Jesus was a name that was hated. It was a name that was despised in this world. And now these few apostles, these unlearned men, they must go forth in the world not only of the Jews, but also in that world of the Gentiles. And they must preach this despised name of Jesus of Nazareth. A name that we know the natural heart of man has no place to receive. They will, for the preaching of this name, be brought into prisons. They will, for the preaching of this name, be scourged. They will be, for the preaching of this name, put to death. But what does the Lord promise unto his disciples? He promises that he will go with them. He promises that he will give them what they stand in need of preach his word. And he promises his blessing. He promises that that word and that name that they will preach, that is going to be fruitful in the places in which they will bring it. He is going to send forth his Spirit. You see, did not that Spirit of the Lord already accompany the disciples of the Lord? Because when the Lord Jesus was on the earth, we read that he breathed on them and he said to them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And we know that the disciples, they have gone already out preaching from place to place, and they have even cast out devils, so that the power of that Holy Spirit that was evident already. That is true. Thus, the disciples of the Lord Jesus were not without the Holy Spirit of the Lord before that day of Pentecost. They were not without him. But this promise of the Lord Jesus is a promise of the giving of the Holy Spirit in a different measure. Thus, it is possible to receive the Holy Spirit in different measures. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ was anointed with the Spirit without measure. And we know that the disciples of the Lord Jesus were given in some measure the Spirit of the Lord. However, the Lord was going to give this Spirit in a new measure in the day that he sent him forth from on high. Why? Because the disciples were standing at the beginning of the New Testamentical church. And this holy word of God, they would have to write. That would be a testimony that was going to last unto the last day of the world. That would be a word from heaven itself upon which God's church to the end of the world was going to be able to rest their whole soul. To lay their entire salvation upon this word. Thus, the manner, the measure in which that Holy Spirit will be sent out is going to be different. And The Lord portrays this also with a sign, with a symbol. What is that? That is of baptism. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Thus he uses a figure. And then he portrays something of the abundance of the ministration of that Holy Spirit. That is, the pouring out of that Spirit. Very often, in those days when they were baptized, and they were standing in the water, and water was taken and poured over the heads of those that were baptized. Thus, there was a signification of an abundance. And that is now the figure and that the Lord Jesus is using. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. The Apostle John has taught the people that his baptism was only a sign. His baptism was only a type of that which was coming in the future. What do we read? John says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Thus, the Lord Jesus comes back upon the word of his servant. And he recognizes and says to everyone that John the Baptist was my servant, that John the Baptist was one who went forth in my name. Oh, may we ever feel something of how that the Lord is giving a testimony, a witness within our heart, that his servants truly go forth in his name, when there may be a witness in our heart that they bring not their own word, but that they bring the word of Christ himself. But not only does the Lord Jesus quote the Apostle John, but he shows that this gift of the Holy Spirit that will be poured out, this is now the accomplishment of this word of the of John the Baptist. Thus, John may preach about the coming of the Spirit, but the Lord Jesus does not only need to preach about the coming of the Spirit, but he actually will be the one with his Father who will send forth that Spirit of the Lord. And he shows how that his baptism indeed, the baptism by the Holy Spirit, is much greater than that baptism of John. For John truly baptized with water, but you, he says, you must still be baptized with that Holy Ghost. And as John baptized with water, so surely you also will be baptized with the Holy Ghost. When? Not many days hence. The church is not given to know when. They are not given to know that moment in which the Lord is going to send forth his Spirit within his church. And yet, the Lord Jesus says it is going to be soon. Why? That they may with more earnestness look to its fulfillment. Let us sing Psalter 72, 1, 2, and 4. Lord, hear me when I pray, and answer me in grace. Oft as I hear thee say, come ye, and seek my face. My heart and lips their answer speak. Thy face, Jehovah, will I seek. 1, 2, and 4 of 72.
Mm-hmm.
and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. He commanded them, and that word command, that is actually a very strong word. It is a word, children, and that is used in the military. And when a commander, when an officer in the military will give a command unto those that are under him, thus that command that is so very strong, those that are under him, they have immediately to carry it out. And what does the Lord Jesus command them concerning this promise? We read that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Literally, it means from Jerusalem not to be parted. Thus, then there is this idea that they may not allow themselves to be drawn away from Jerusalem, that they may not allow themselves to be driven away from Jerusalem until this prescribed time had come. Because this was necessary for the execution of this promise of the Lord, that it may be bestowed upon them. So he had before commanded them. He said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry, he says, in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. That was not the place that these disciples had of their nature a desire to be in Jerusalem. They had felt much more comfortable maybe in Galilee. But Jerusalem, that was the place that the Lord Jesus had been crucified. And in Jerusalem, there were still so very, very many enemies. And so these disciples of the Lord Jesus, they are not from their own side going to return unto Jerusalem. But Isaiah, he had said long ago, many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth a law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Or a gospel church was to be born in Jerusalem. There was a church that was to be planted there. There was a large number of souls that were to be gathered in this place. And thus the disciples must be in a way of duty. And looking that the Lord would keep them in safety. And those disciples were also to be gathered together. Oh, that is the time, that is the place that the Lord is giving of His Holy Spirit. No, they were not told when that Holy Spirit was going to come. They were told that they should be gathered together and they must wait there. They must wait there together for the pouring out of that Spirit. And congregation, we also do not know. Oh, we are commanded also to gather from Sabbath to Sabbath, from time to time in God's house in a public way. And we also are not told exactly when it is that the Lord is going to come with His Holy Spirit and to strike the heart of this one, to strike the heart of that one. Let us then not leave our place ever empty before the face of the Lord, but that we may desire to be in that place that the Lord commands us to be. See what a blessing was poured out upon His disciples when they may be obedient to His command. Thus we read they have to wait. They have to wait for the promise. What does that mean, children? Because you say they already had the promise. Did they not? Yes, they already had the promise, didn't they? Thus, that may be for you a little confusing. But here the Lord Jesus does not tell them they must wait actually for the promise itself, but he says they must wait for the fulfillment of the promise. So sometimes when we speak about the promise, then God's word is actually speaking about the fulfillment of the promise. Those are two things. You cannot separate them from each other, but they are two things that have to be distinguished from each other. There is the promise, and there is the fulfillment of the promise. And thus the Lord Jesus, he says, you must now wait for the fulfillment of this promise. And the Lord Jesus had said to his disciples that they had to go out to preach. But they are not allowed to go yet. No, before that they go, they have to wait for the fulfillment of that promise. Thus, there is for these disciples a calling to the ministry, but they are not yet to go. They are not yet sent out, as it were. We know that Moses was also called. And he thought it was the time to go, but it was 40 years too early. Thus, there had to come also a time where the Lord would actually send him out. And there is something that has to precede this sending out before that they can commence, they can take up their labors. Then they also need to be qualified. That the Lord has to give to them those gifts that are necessary to fulfill that calling that he has given to them. And the Lord knows for his servants what is better for them than they do. Because the disciples needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? For their own instruction. They needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit for power. Power that was necessary to preach the gospel to all nations. Oh, the disciples, those tokens of their unbelief, they were still so fresh. When they have so cowardly forsaken their master that has just taken place, so recently these disciples, they have forgotten all that instruction that the Lord had given them for 3 years in that time of trial. The Lord makes them wait. The Lord makes them wait that their desire may be sharpened for the fulfillment of his promise. Or maybe he makes them wait in order that they may receive for themselves a little rest before that they have to go out to do their great business. The Lord makes them wait because the Lord is going to make the miracle of the sending forth of his Spirit very, very apparent in this world. The Lord makes them wait that they may become accustomed themselves to the obedience of Christ before that they are going to require that obedience unto Christ from all the nations of this world. Therefore, they must wait. They must wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. But that is not only for the servants of the Lord. No, that is for the entire church of God of all ages. Because the temporal blessings, congregation, they are given to that church of God by his providence. How are the spiritual blessings given unto God's church? The spiritual blessings are given unto God's church so often by way of promise. Thus the Lord is making room for His blessing. Thus the Lord is giving that His church will also look. That they will look for the fulfillment of that promise. That the Lord is working in His people a yearning, a hungering, a thirsting after this fulfillment. And what is so necessary for them to experience that they are in themselves so empty. And so that when the Lord is coming to fulfill it in their life, that they are going to know with such certainty that that blessing is received and that the Lord is going to Himself receive all the honor. Waiting, congregation, is not an easy task. But that is now what His church is called to in this world. The Lord is not in a hurry. And the Lord is instructing His people in patience and in waiting. As Jeremiah says, it is good for a man that he both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. And it is more in the nature of that people to work than to wait. Abram and Sarai thought that they're waiting, and that it was wrong. And they thought that their waiting was just in vain, that they were not supposed just to wait. And how often does that church believe that they need to help the Lord to fulfill the promise themselves? And how often do they not spoil everything by putting their own hand to the promise of the Lord? No, waiting is not an easy task. You say that is an encouragement to slothfulness. No. No, not at all. The disciples and all their company, they were not slothful in that waiting. But they were busy. And what were they busy with? We read that in verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brethren. Thus, what is now the proper, what is now the beneficial activity for the true church of God in that time of waiting? That is, not to put my own hand to the work, no, but that is prayer and supplication. And this congregation is what the Lord, He waits to hear from His church. Oh, my dove, that are in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Oh, it is for this that the Lord says he will be inquired of by the house of Israel. It is the activity of faith that the Lord is giving unto His church. And what is the activity of faith? Beggary. Beggary. That they may sit in all their helplessness and that they may believe the word of the Lord and that they may go to Him that He may fulfill it in His own time, in His own way. Therefore, He makes them poor in themselves. But rich in what? Oh, rich in hope. In hope. In hope for the fulfillment of the promise of the Lord. And now it is this relying on His word of promise that is to the honor and to the glory of His worthy name. Oh, therefore, this begging in faith, oh, that is pleasing to the Lord. heard by him, answered by him. Congregation, by nature, we don't lack anything. By nature, we don't know what it means to wait. By nature, we are possessors, especially within the outward church. And we do not know what it means to miss. And by nature, we are full of praise, but we have no needs. And we have no work, and we have no need for that Holy Spirit of the Lord. And we have much knowledge, but we have no ignorance. And when we have no ignorance, we have no need for instruction. And that we do not know that language of God's servant. Lord, teach me. Lord, lead me. Lord, guide me. The greatest blessing that is given to a people who cannot help themselves to the promises, but who may learn to wait upon that Spirit of the Lord. Oh, are there such ones also in our midst that may seek that gift of the Holy Spirit by prayer and by supplication? These shall not wait in vain. Though it tarry, wait for it shall surely come and not tarry, the Lord says. David says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. And when the Lord comes, it will be far, far above the expectation of the people. Christ said, when that Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all the truth. He is not going to speak of himself, but he is going to glorify me, he says. He is going to receive of me, and he is going to show it unto you. How much, oh, how much did those disciples not learn on the day of Pentecost? When that Holy Spirit of the Lord was poured out, and indeed, they may be instructed by the Lord. Oh, that that expectation may drive his people more and more to the throne of grace, that it may be to the increase of his church and to the instruction of his people and to the glory of his name. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou look on us also, oh, that we may learn to hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord in prayer and in supplication. Lord, that we may learn to know our own fallen state, that we are dead in sins and in trespasses, and that we may need thee, that thou may be the first one, and that thou may be the last one. O, look upon us. Next week, if all is well, then we also hope to commemorate the day of Pentecost. Lord, may there be now a waiting people. O, may we be made so, if we have never been so, young and old together. Oh, give us, and with thy own disciples and all those who love thee, to storm thy throne of grace, that thou may fulfill it also in the day in which we live. Forgive our many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 364. All stanzas, from out the depths I cry to thee. O, let thy ear attentive be. Hear thou my supplicating plea. Have mercy, Lord. 1 through 4 of 364. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.